Bismillah, alhamdulillah. Welcome to the Dean Show. I'm Eddie, your host, and we got on the Dean Show today an Islamic exorcist. That's right. You have those who are out there chasing the unseen world, the paranormal. And we had someone contact us, and this person who actually does this for a living, he was asking us, what is the Islamic stance? You know, there's a lot of haunted houses out there, you know, the unseen world and ghosts and spirits and spooks. So what do you Muslims have to say? So we brought on the Dean Show, someone who does this, who has a lot of experience in this, to answer, give the Islamic perspective on the unseen world of the spirits, the jinn. So we'll be right back with an actual Islamic exorcist, or one who does the exorcism, Iraqi, here on the Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is
Harun, Hafiz Harun, how you doing, brother?
Alhamdulillah, pleasure to be here, Eddie.
Thank you for being on the Dean Show with us.
Barakallah feek, may Allah bless you.
All the way from Detroit?
Yes, sir.
You studied in Morocco?
Yes, sir.
6 years, was it?
Yeah, 6 years.
Tell us a little about yourself.
You know, subhanAllah, my parents sent me overseas when I was 9 years old. And I stayed in Morocco for about 6 years, where I studied, you know, memorized the Quran, the Arabic language. I studied Islamic jurisprudence and things like that, alhamdulillah.
How did you get into the Islamic, what do you call it, Islamic exorcism?
Islamic exorcism, subhanAllah.
How did you get into that?
It's an interesting story, you know, subhanAllah. While you're learning it overseas, it's a very small and simple subject. But most of the knowledge that you get, if not all of the knowledge that you get, which was in my case, was book knowledge. So you don't really have much hands-on experience. If you go to your local imam who's had any kind of experience with it or who has studied anything about it, most likely they have, they'll probably refer you to an expert who has had experience, who has been taught by another expert, and so on and so forth. So when I came back here to the U.S., initially, there was this one brother, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and reward him, who's doing much better now. His name was Abdul Aziz. And he had some serious problems, and he comes into the masjid, and I really didn't understand what was wrong with him. I asked him, you know, what are you, I saw him new in the masjid, so, you know, usually when you see somebody new, you want to give him salams and things like that, and I say, why are you here? You know, what brings you to the masjid? And he's like, oh, I'm here to meet Sheikh al-Jinn. Sheikh al-Jinn. So yeah, I have a jinn problem. I have a problem with spirits. So I was kind of interested in what was going to happen. And so I met with that brother, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and reward him. And that was my first exposure to a real session. And that was around 2003, 2004. The brother, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and reward him, he taught me a lot of the ins and the outs of, you know, doing ruqya.
This is all with the Quran?
All with the Quran. All with the Quran, of course, you would use, you know, supplications from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Different du'a.
Yes, you would seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa taala. You know, you would say stuff like "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaitan ar-rajim," "A'udhu billahi al-'azim," or "Biwajhi
al-kareem."
So "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaitan ar-rajim" means I seek refuge in Allah, in God, from the cursed devil.
Yes.
Or you would say "A'udhu billahi al-'azim," and there are many more. Like I seek refuge in Allah, the Magnificent.
Yes.
Right. وَبِوَجْهِهِ الْكَرِيمِ, and with his generous face, وَسُلْطَانِهِ الْقَدِيمِ, and his old or ancient authority, مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ, from the cursed devil. And there are many supplications that you can use like this that are from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ.
So this was your first time? This is your first experience?
That was my first experience, yes.
Yeah. So you heard me, when I opened the show, I told you what stimulated us to do this topic was we got contacted by a person who actually, He's either involved with different, they call him paranormal, is it paranormal investigators?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, and you actually got a chance to talk to him. What was his name? Randy?
Randy, yes. So real nice guy.
Real nice guy. And we wanted to do this special episode for all his viewers also and all his friends and all the people who are, they actually do this for a living.
Wow.
They do this for a living. They're out there, you know, when someone has a haunted house or what is presumed, you know, things are just moving around, they call these guys.
Wow.
So they want to know the Islamic perspective.
Okay.
Do you know anything about this? About what did he tell you about the paranormal? Did he talk to you a little bit about what he does or how his radio show? Or
well, he sent me to a couple of links. I don't recall the links right off the top of my head, but he sent me to a couple of links which I haven't had the opportunity to look at yet. But some of the things that he explained to me was that his organization definitely seems to be Christian based or Catholic based in particular, and. One of the questions, for example, was how do we view or do we take offense, for example, would we allow a Catholic priest to come into our homes and do a cleansing of the home? Or would we take offense if we saw a Catholic priest doing a cleansing, performing a spiritual cleansing of the home? And I told him, no, we wouldn't really take any offense for, you know, if we saw someone, a Catholic, doing, you know, a spiritual cleansing. We respect all religions, and this is part of our creed. But we wouldn't allow, you know, it's prohibited for us to allow a Catholic priest to come into our homes because they call on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, they'll call on, you know, along with using the Father, they'll say they use, you know, the Son and the Holy Ghost. And we know those to be things that go against our belief system, which we consider shirk, which means associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making people equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So that'll lead to the question that he had. He said, how do the Muslims deal with paranormal investigators? How would they deal with someone like that? That's what he wanted to know.
Islam encourages any kind of research as long as it's within the guidelines of permissibility. As long as it's within the guidelines of permissibility. Meaning what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows and what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the hadith or through the sayings or his traditions allowed. And so if a person is interested in seeing, maybe they saw like a black shadow in the corner and they want to investigate and they buy some equipment to try to see if they can pick up sounds, or they get some infrared cameras to see if they can pick up some kinds of images and things like that, and they're doing it out of curiosity, they want to do research. Any kind of research in Islam is permissible. But once you get into worshiping other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or doing things, because a lot of the times they'll call on these unseen beings, these jinns, they'll say, if you are here, can you do this? And they're calling on them. You know, once you start calling on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or supplicating to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
When you say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for many of the viewers tuning in, what you're talking about, the creator.
The creator, God. The one and only.
The maker of mankind.
Yes, sir.
Please continue.
The maker of the heavens and earth.
Yes.
Or when we get into calling on other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is also a form of associating partners with God, which is clearly forbidden in Islam. Islam came to teach the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we want to make sure we stick to those guidelines, regardless of what we do. Mm-hmm. So in a nutshell, investigating is permissible, but calling on other than God is not.
And when we say calling on God alone, that's that pure monotheism.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, if we look back and we see that, okay, there is a maker that designed this whole universe and everything in it.
Mm-hmm.
He also, let's take it back, tells us about the common enemy to mankind.
Yes.
And this is the shaitan, the devil.
Yeah.
Tell us how all this started.
You know, it's an amazing, it's a beautiful story. And this story coincides with some of the story of the Bible, but it disagrees with some of the story of the Bible. Before we get into the story, we have to get into the context, inshallah ta'ala. And the first part is the creation of man, the creation of angels, and the creation of jinn as three separate beings not two separate beings.
Creation of mankind.
Uh-huh. The creation of the angels.
The angels.
And the creation of jinn.
Jinn. Can you translate jinn as spirits?
Spirits.
Okay.
Okay. Now, unlike the common understanding, we don't believe jinn to be, or spirits to be, dead people who have passed on. Nor do we believe that spirits are angels that have fallen. Okay? We believe that jinns were created, and they have the male of them and the female of them, meaning they have children, they have offsprings, they have family members, they have cousins and cousins of cousins, right? Where angels are created, and jinns are created from fire, smokeless fire, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states in the Quran. As for angels, they're created out of light, okay? And a certain kind of light which we can't see, right? And as modern science furthers in their research, we understand that there are so many different kinds of lights that we still have yet to discover. And man is created out of clay, out of dirt. And so, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to talk about how all of it started, inshallah ta'ala, but first we have to have a clear guideline as to who is what. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Okay, let's hold off there. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more on this very interesting topic here on The Deen Show. Take that simple step that you ask your maker to guide you, that he'll guide you.
Yes. I advise this a lot so for people who are searching. Put your head on the floor. In the state of prostration, like all the prophets did, and ask the creator of the universe to show you the way, to guide you to the straight path. And someone who sincerely asks for guidance, subhanAllah, they'll find it in Islam.
That's it. Do you want to know what makes knowledge grow? Then everybody watch Deen Show. Deen Show. Are you ready? Your host is Eddie. If there is something you want to know, if there is something you want to know,
sit right back and watch Deen Show. The Deen Show.
Welcome back to The Deen Show. Our guest, Hafiz Haroon. And along with study, memorizing the verbatim word of God, is one of the living miracles that we have.
Yeah.
The verbatim word of God, the Quran, memorized by millions. You're one of those here today.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
Allah has blessed me to be one of those.
Yeah, I mean, you try to memorize, I mean, just if somebody, let me take just an average book. I mean, let me see what I can give. We take a book here. This one is Sheikh Jalal Abu Rub, 50 of the, and I advise people to get this book, Concepts Brought by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Try memorizing this book. I'm just picking a random book, but get the book. It's a good book. Have you heard of people just memorizing entire books?
Yes, but not...
Oh, you're talking about from an Islamic concept.
From an Islamic concept,
yes. From an Islamic concept, but in today's day and age, I mean, no. You try to memorize just some small pamphlet, you can't do it.
Yeah.
That's a miracle. You know, yeah, we have people like Imam Bukhari and who memorized, you know, they had that gift. But that's the Islamic, that's one of the miracles. So you also work with Sheikh Yusuf Estes on Guidance TV?
Yes.
You want to give a shout out to the Sheikh?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
So Sheikh Estes, Guidance TV, you're also with him there. Let's continue on. You're talking about the story of the first man, Adam, and how the angels and the spirit, jinn.
Right.
Continue on.
So, this story of Adam and Iblis and the angels and his wife, Hawa, or Eve, it's an amazing story, subhanAllah. And there are so many lessons that you can learn from it. But we're going to focus on one part, one aspect of it. We're going to focus on the relationship that Adam had with Shaitan, Satan, Iblis, right? And the relationship that Adam had with the angels, and the relationship that Adam had with Allah, and the relationship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had with the other three that we just mentioned. And so, who was Iblis? Who was Shaitan? Who was Satan? Satan, we know in Islam, he was one of the most devoted worshippers among the jinn. He was such a devoted worshipper that God allowed him to sit in the circles of the angels. I mean, this is a high honor. You can imagine, you know, for the Christians, you know, we know that Jesus Isa alayhi salam had a relationship with the angels. You know, so he would receive revelation from the angels. Muslims, we believe, and Muslims, we believe the same thing, and we believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a relationship with the angels. He received revelation from the angels. And he would occasionally see angels based on a lot of the different ahadith. We know that all of the prophets received a certain kind of revelation from the angels.
It would come from the creator of the heavens and earth to the angel.
To the prophets.
To the prophets. Yes. Like angel Gabriel.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Iblis or Shaytan or Satan was able to sit in the circles of the angels, right? In the gatherings of the angels. And this was the high esteem that God had for him because of his devotion of worship. But there was a problem. And the problem was his lack of sincerity, right? And this is proven a little bit later on. So one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa," right? I am to put on the earth an inheritor, a ruler, someone to take over, someone to run the earth.
A human being.
In this ayah, it doesn't specify a human being.
But this is what's to come, is that right?
This verse implies Adam, who is the first human being.
Okay.
And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa." I'm putting an inheritor, a ruler, someone to run the earth. And the angels respond, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ وَنَحْنُ نُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. Are you going to put in it someone who's going to shed blood, right, and cause corruption in the land?
So the angels are saying, are you going to put someone who's going to cause havoc in the earth, basically?
Yes.
Bloodshed, and that's what's going on today.
And they're getting this from the experience that they had before with the jinns. And this is, you'll find this in some of the tafsirs or explanations of the Quran based on some of the hadith that the jinns became corrupted and, you know, they started shedding blood and the whole earth was kind of like, you know, without leader. Without leadership. And anytime you have something without leadership, of course, there's a lot of chaos.
So when the angels said this, what happens next? They're saying this to the creator.
They're saying this, they're asking the creator. They're not questioning the creator.
Yes, they're
asking. There's a difference between questioning and asking, right? And so they're asking out of curiosity, is this what's going to happen, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or God says, "Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun." I know what you don't know, right? And so they stopped. So eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or God, created Adam.
First man.
The first man. And when God created Adam, Iblis, Shaytan, or the Satan, was jealous of this person. Why? Because he felt that he deserved that spot. He wanted to be the one in charge of the earth. And so remember, we were talking about his devotion at one point in time. Right? Now, he's jealous. And this is going to bring out his true intentions behind his devotion. So, when God honors Adam and tells the angels to prostrate, to bow down to Adam, right? All of the angels bow down to Adam and it shows their pure intentions.
This bowing down, this is wasn't a bowing down of worship, was it? It was of respect?
Bowing down to other people was permissible before the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi
wasallam. Before the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came, peace and blessings be upon him. When he came, he prohibited it because this was a formal way of worshiping other than God. All right, but before they used to do it out of respect, Jacob, his son, his brothers prostrated to Joseph, and his mother and father, you know, they prostrated to Joseph. God tells Adam to be prostrated to by the angels and by Iblis or Shaitan or the devil himself, and here, Iblis disobeys a direct command from God.
Mm-hmm.
And what does he say? How could I? You created me. I'm better than him. You created me from fire. You created him from dirt.
That's the, this is, can we say the original sin?
The first sin.
The original sin.
Well,
so this is the first sin.
There were sins before.
Yeah.
Because if you recall, there were jinns before who were causing corruption. This is the first sin that we know of.
So this is the sin, the sin of arrogance, pride.
Yes.
And we see a lot of that happening in the world today.
Yes.
Right?
And that's the source of just about every form of disbelief. You have the truth in front of you and you don't even, you have the truth in front of you and you don't even believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? This wall is white. No. My grandparents told me that this wall is green. Look at this.
But it's white, yeah.
Right? And just like the same thing. God has given us signs throughout the heavens and the earth. He's created for us the moon and the stars. There's nothing that benefits like the human being from the entire earth.
Yeah.
Nothing, absolutely nothing. The lions don't benefit from the earth like people. The elephants don't benefit from the earth like the people. Nothing benefits from the earth like the people, like mankind. But yet, we are the only ones who worship other than Him. God has sent us all of this as a sign for us to be able to see who He is. Mm-hmm. For us to be able to, even if we can't see Him, His signs are there.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, we disbelieve in Him.
How do we connect this now to, okay, so this is what we have of how it all went down.
Mm-hmm.
So now this is that enemy to human beings,
right?
Is the jinn.
Yes.
The I mean, you have this Iblis,
mm-hmm.
the devil. So now you have, you know, a lot of people who've dedicated their lives, you know, and this is something that's proven. You know, you have a lot of people who have gone out with these equipments and they've gone to these houses or, you know, certain places, and there are just paranormal things that are going on.
Yes.
Even someone who might not believe in God, you know, he sees an unidentified flying object.
Yes.
You know, UFO, they call them. You know, these are, you could say, the jinn, because they travel very fast.
Yes.
Isn't that? So when you read the Islamic description, you can pinpoint that these are the action of those spirits. Is that true?
Yes. Based on, there is a difference of opinion as to actually what it is, because there are some hadith that may link to them as being angels. And then there are other hadith that may link to them as being the jinns. So we leave it to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best,
mm-hmm.
right? As we're not sure, so we leave it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we know that there were beings moving at the speed of light, as it's stated in the both jinns and angels were moving faster than the jinns.
Mm-hmm.
And this is stated clearly in the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So linking that to what we have, what we're experiencing today, shaitan, Iblis, is from the unseen.
From the unseen.
We can't see him, we can't feel him, and we can't touch him.
Yeah.
Right? But he does bother us.
Mm-hmm.
And this, he has made his life mission. And God has given him respite until the day of judgment.
To mislead people.
To mislead people.
Right? Before we go to break, don't lose your place, but I want to just throw this in. Have you heard this this saying that the biggest trick that devil played on human beings is what?
To make people believe he doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we say that?
I guess so. It's because
if you don't believe he exists, then you don't know your enemy.
Yes.
And then you're being tricked.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to be talking more about this. And we have some more questions that we need you to answer here on the Deen Show. We'll be right back.
Jihad, often mistranslated as holy war. The word jihad means to struggle. Islam does not preach violence. It does not preach vicious holy war. It certainly does not condone terror and suicide bombing. Islam preaches compassion, tolerance, and justice. Find the truth about Islam. Call toll-free 877-WHY-ISLAM. Order your free copy of the Quran today.
I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on the Deen Show with our brother and your brother, Harun. And we're talking about the spirits, the unseen world. And it's interesting that some people who, when the topic of the Creator comes up and talking about the purpose of life, and you know, these are things of the unseen. And many people who don't, let's say, don't follow any religion or don't worship the Creator or follow, you know, the messengers that were sent, you know, when they all came with the same message: worship the Creator, not his creation, Islam, submission to the will of God. And you know, they'll come up with many funky ideas. You know, they talk about Martians, talk about aliens.
Yeah.
This is crazy things to us, yeah, that we think about it. But when we're talking about this, I mean, you, like I said, there are, you know, people, you know, there are paranormal things that happen. How would we define paranormal? That'd be like things out of the ordinary.
Out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
Right. Normal, paranormal, something that is not normal.
And this is fact.
Yes.
It's not fiction. But Islam has the answers to it. What's really going on behind the scenes? Is that true?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And that's one of our pillars of faith.
Yeah.
Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God, says, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Right? They, when God is first talking about the people who fear him or who are devoted to him, he said they are the ones who believe in the unseen.
Unseen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this is part of our pillars of faith.
Randy from the Paranormal Investigators, he's asking, he said, does the jinn pose an issue if the paranormal investigator pushes or provokes the spirit?
And that divides into two different categories, right? The first kind of provoking a spirit, based on what I understand, it requires one to call on the spirit. For example, if you are in this room with me, then I need you to tap on the desk twice, right? Now you're calling on something that may or may not be there, right? And this is associating partners with God. We don't call on anyone other than God, right? But another form is something that we always do in the Quran, right? Where we may seek refuge in God from the devil, or we may ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we may ask God to destroy the devil. We may ask, we may tell them to leave out of this house, right? Like the letter, which is from a non-authentic hadith, but it's a letter of Abu Jujana, which states in it, right? أخرجوا من هذا المكان, leave out of this place. And the Prophet ﷺ, when he would read on a person, when he would do an exorcism on a person, right? One of the narrations says he was doing an exorcism on a boy, and he would blow into his mouth, and he would say, "Come out, you enemy of God! I am a servant of God. Come out, you enemy of God! I am a servant of God."
Doing that's like the exorcism, ruqya.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
And so you can call that a form of provoking, but rather it's a form we would consider a form of attacking. Mm-hmm. But calling on them in order for them to do things for you and you don't even know if they're there or not is a different issue.
This is what you see a lot of, like the, they call them the, you know, the Jay-Z's and the, what do they have a group for them? You know, they have the special sign, what is it called? Illuminati?
The Illuminati.
And you'll know, I mean, they have these seances and they actually call on the spirits to help them. And they've written about this. You have this in their, in, you know, in I believe Aleister Crowley's book, you know, that many of them, that's like their sheikh, they go by. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't heard of that.
And many of them, you know, they actually, you know, as you could say, they sell their souls to the devil.
Mm.
So they'll call on the devils, because don't you have multiple, you have like the main devil, then you have the, how does that work?
The Iblis, Shaitan, right, yeah. Satan, he has a few high governors, right? And those high governors have people who are under them, and then they're, when we that we can seek refuge in God from the devil, we can say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن جنوده وأبنائه, right? Seek refuge in God from the devil and from his soldiers and from his children.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, what they're doing is an ancient form of witchcraft. It hasn't changed
witchcraft
for thousands,
yeah,
of years.
That's, people want money, they want power, they want status, mm-hmm, and they'll do anything to get it, so they call these spirits to,
yes,
help them.
And unfortunately, those things don't help them. Not in this life and not in the next, mm-hmm, right? And it boils down to them just believing that it's working, and it really
can
isn't.
they give them some temporary victories. Maybe they think they help them in their transgression. Well, they'll want something. They'll say help them to achieve a certain status they think is good for them, but actually that's destroying them.
There's a possibility
they want to be the biggest rock star, for instance.
There's a possibility that it can happen.
Now they get to that mm-hmm. level of fame, mm-hmm. but that actually destroys them. And then they worship them more.
Yes. There's a possibility that it can help them lead to that. Mm-hmm. But if you really look at most of the magicians, mm-hmm. the most of the people who deal with witchcraft,
yeah.
let's say you go to example Zanzibar with a lot of the voodoo priests, or you go to like the bushes of Africa or down in the jungles of the Amazon, and you see these people who are heavy into this kind of stuff, you realize that the best of these people don't even have the wealth that they're seeking.
Mm.
They don't. So just like with anyone else, our provisions was written before we were born. And it doesn't matter what we do, we're gonna get it. Whether we call on jinns or whether we don't, we're gonna get it. So why do something that God has forbidden you to do in order to get what was already written for you?
Mm-hmm. So we're almost out of time. We got to wrap it up. A few more things. They asked, how does the church, it said Church of Islam, there's no Church of Islam, mm-hmm. but this is what he's saying. How does the Church of Islam determine a jinn, if someone's possessed by a jinn?
There are a few different methods of doing it. You want to, first of all, you want to watch out from any kind of magician. And the signs of identifying a magician is, number one, when you first talk to them, they'll ask you for your name and your mother's name. Number two, so if you go to someone for help and they ask you for those two things, make
that's
sure
that's a red light. Run.
Yeah, get out of the room. Say, I'm very sorry. You don't have to be mean to them. I'm very sorry. You know, I'm gonna come back another time. Just don't come back.
Okay. So this is tell us some more. So if someone's asking, you go to someone and said, "What's your mother's name?" Bring a picture of your dad or some mother.
Bring a picture of yourself or the person who you're intending on helping or hurting. Bring nails, blood. Bring clothing of that particular person, so on and so forth. Then you want to move on, you know, to the next person who you think might be able to help.
Yeah.
The way to identify if someone has a jinn problem, at my clinic in Detroit, we would typically tell them to keep their hands still, something like this here, right, and keep their fingers together, and we would recite the Quran, the verses that were prescribed for exorcisms.
There's actual verses from the verbatim word of God, Allah, yes. in the Quran. So you recite these.
Yes, mm-hmm. And we also recite supplications that the Prophet used to do that are recommended for exorcisms or for keeping the devils away. Initially, what would happen is you start to see separations of the fingers because the jinns that are inside the person start to suffer and they can't stay still. We don't have enough time to go through the whole spiel as to what happens, but that's an initial sign. Some people feel headaches. Some people can't listen to it anymore. They just feel like they want to move it away. Some people start to feel stomach pain, etc., etc. And some people start to feel things moving through their body once they start to listen to these things. And so that's one definite way to be able to identify. Well, of course, we believe in some mental issues. So some people who do have mental issues, and it has very little to do with problems with the spirits. And so you want to be sure by using the proper evaluation methods in order to evaluate whether you have schizophrenia, bipolar, etc., or you have a jinn-related problem. And if you do have a jinn-related problem and it's difficult, make sure you go to an expert because it can get out of hand.
So none of these talismans, these superstitions, all of this stuff is out the window. All of these things that you mentioned.
Yeah.
You know, someone's asking you for something weird, just...
Yeah. Anybody gives you any kind of talisman or gives you something and they tell you, don't open it. If you open it, you're going to die. Yeah. Put this in the corner of your house, et cetera, et cetera. You want to make sure you stay away from those kinds of guys.
Yeah. Okay. And what else can they do now? How do you stay protected before? What's the best way to stay protected from these evil forces that are out there?
No one is absolutely exempt. If anyone was exempt, it would have been Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But since he was affected by witchcraft, right, then we know that no one is exempt from it. But there are things that you can do to protect yourself as best as possible, and that is getting closer to Allah, praying on time, keep up with reading the Quran, or as much as you possibly can. I usually tell people 2 to 3 hours a day. You want to read from the Quran. Remember your supplications of the morning and afternoon. All of these things go way farther than you can ever see or ever imagine. They're so much better for you than most people actually think.
Yeah. So staying connected with the Creator.
Yeah.
And doing these small, making sure you're making your prayers, connecting with the Creator through the Quran. If you can't do 2-3 hours, I mean 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And the supplications that are there. And all of these supplications are not calling on the creation, but it's calling on the Creator, isn't it?
Yes, the one and only.
Yes. Thank you very much. We got to go. I wish we could talk some more.
Barakallah.
We're out of time. Wafikum. Thank you very much.
Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullah khair for having me.
Wa yak, amin. And thank you tuning into the Dean Show every week. We're here. And remember that there's one God, one Creator, one Maker of mankind, and He sent messengers to guide mankind, and all of them came with the same message: worship the Creator, not His creation. And I remember, they all warned about the common enemy to mankind, and that's the devil, that's Shaitan, that's Iblis, that's the one who wants to turn people away from God's way, from the Creator's way. And everything that the Creator calls us to do is good, is organic, and everything that the devil wants us to do is something that doesn't bring peace and happiness in one soul. Alcohol, drugs, and promiscuity, and all the things that just don't make you feel good, they make you feel bad. So let's start off by trying to connect with our Creator, staying away from the things that are displeasing to the Creator, and make sure that we live a good, wholesome life that is pleasing to the one who made mankind. And whenever you're in trouble, dial up to the one up above, the one who created you. And you can give us a call, 1-800-662-ISLAM, if you'd like to pick up the verbatim word of God, the Quran. We'll see you next time here on the Dean Show. Until then, peace be with you.
Do you want to know what makes knowledge grow? Then everybody watch the Dean Show.
Dean Show.
Are you ready?
Dean Show.
Your host is Eddie. If there is something you want to know,
if there is something you want to know,
sit right back and watch the Dean Show.
The Dean Show.